was their rabbi. So I did the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, my hand was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We've all worked in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Is all I ever read. Redemption song.
Redemption. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest joining me now is the runner of Rush FM, Roy Harlow in Hamilton there. Roy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Good to be on.
By the way, I just wanted to kind of just thank you. It's been nearly 4 years now that the Vinny Eastwood Show has been running, and for most of that time, you've been kind enough to play episodes of the show on Rush FM, and I'm really quite grateful about that.
Not a problem. Yeah, we're grateful too, because I think you give a unique spin on some of these subjects, and it's I like the way you make them wake up.
Do I make people wake up actually? I mean, I'm.
Well, let me just paraphrase for you. You're not friggin' free.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, see, what I was thinking is that I don't actually wake people up per se. Like for me, the quote unquote wake up is when you go from believing everything the cops and politicians say to realizing that almost everything you've ever been brought up to believe in your entire life is just BS, and you get really stressed and depressed about it. That's what I call waking up. So my show isn't trying to wake people up. It's trying to keep those who are already awake to stay sane so that they're no longer stressed and depressed. And that's what the whole humor thing is about. And that's why it's not all like I have the documents, credibility, credibility, credibility. I don't care about that kind of stuff. It has no value for me. Sanity, on the other hand, and good people having a good laugh and enjoying their lives amidst the scumbaggery is important to me.
I agree, Vinny, and I think that's part of the presentation side that makes it attractive. I think that's what people are doing. They wake up and they go into this depression because, as you said, everything's not true. You know, Bob Dylan said it, all the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. And you see that, and when you do, it's a culture shock. And it's, you know, Susan Posel talks about that too. She's saying we're going through an identity crisis because your identity is built upon what you understand as your reality. And when you find that's bogus, you go, well wait a minute, where am I? And it's good to go, well, hey, don't worry about where you're at. You're still among us earthlings, and we can still carry on in spite of the fact that it's not the playing field we thought we were on, but we can still play.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Now, I was thinking about in terms of my role in the actual movement itself is integral and necessary. However, it's not the only role that's integral and necessary. You know, I mean, activists and whistleblowers, as far as I'm concerned, they do the real work, like the real hard work. They're the ones who have bullets coming through their windows at night. They're the ones who have their family members threatened, yeah, etc. I don't have any of that kind of stress and pain in my life.
Right.
And as a result, I'm still capable of keeping my head in a space where I'm happy. And I can make jokes about stuff. I haven't lost my sense of humor. These people are in great danger, I believe, Roy, of losing their sense of humor.
It is. Hats off to these guys. I mean, Jim Stone, freelancer, he's one who's, on the front edge. He lives in flux. You know, there's several of them. What's the Garner guy? Zen Garner. He lives in flux. There's quite a few of them that are really investigative journalists, and they're really giving you the facts. The trouble is that people are so far removed by the disinformation that they don't appreciate these facts, nor these guys' sacrifice. And I think that's one thing you and I get to do, being in the industry where we're actually presenting information that's truthful. we get to see how these guys are actually sacrificing a lot more than the populace can appreciate. And by presenting their information on Rush FM, for example, we do it more than once. Because this is another problem I see, is that these guys come through, or you and I, we come through as something that's informative, and it just goes by one time like a flash. And we're trying to use Rush FM as a repetitive opportunity. That spot gets played more than once. More people get a chance to hear it. And it brings a unity and consciousness. I get this all the time on our emails and people calling in the studio. They're going, oh, I thought I was alone. Everybody's telling me I'm crazy. You're just a conspiracy theorist, yada, yada, yada. And then they find Rush FM. They listen to Vinnie Eastwood and they go, I knew it. I knew it. And they feel like they just joined a crowd, a family of people that are informed. And they felt an emptiness, a loneliness. But in their heart, they know this is not right. Something's really seriously wrong.
So you just encapsulated one of the best reasons for the existence of the Vinnie Eastwood show, not just helping the activists or anything, but the listeners themselves. I mean, mate, feeling like you're alone amidst a sea of brainwashed morons isn't fun, is it?
No, it's not. And we all get to experience it together.
Yeah, especially if you're in Hamilton.
Well,
no offense.
I don't know anywhere that's exempt from the media contamination claptrap stuff.
You know, you really do have a good point there.
From screen addiction, you know?
Yeah. And in fact, you know, that's something that comes to mind a lot recently is just how much time we spend in front of screens. I recall yesterday watching a video that was posted on YouTube that is telling people that YouTube is ruining your life. Facebook is ruining your life because you're never actually making eye contact with anyone. You're never actually embracing anyone. You're never there to experience anything real anymore. You are so isolated from everybody, but your mind thinks that you're not.
Right. Agreed. That's the illusion. I agree 100%. We're doing something right now on Rush FM. We're bringing in texting. We could have a text line. People can text in because they're not skilled in calling and interacting and speaking their mind. They're semi-retarded in their interactive skills. So we're kind of taking a step toward them to give them an opportunity to take a step out of their box. And we're trying to use the text. We used to have this a few years ago when we first started with you. We had a text method, but it was kind of contaminated, and so we dropped it, and now I'm just reinstalling it on a new platform so that we can. These people have free texting on their phone, and they're living on their phone. It's the most amazing control over the human mind to have the guy carry his own control device around with him. You know, wow, what a coup that was.
Oh, mate, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. I have an iPhone. I'm free. Really?
Right.
Does that iPhone by chance track you wherever you go and send all the information back to the NSA so that they know everywhere you are and automatically record all the microphones and video footage that's coming out of it and gets data? And gets data logged at the NSA complex in Cheyenne Mountain. Is that freedom? Is that
absolutely really not? And they turn around and rely upon it for their source of information. You say, "Oh, how do you do this particular calculation?" They go, "Oh, hang on." They turn their back to you and Google it. You know?
Nobody knows today.
In fact, this comes to school.
This comes to a very interesting point. I had a conversation with a former university student the day before yesterday, and he said that his final exam in university was a very interesting one. They didn't have it in a class. They had it at the National Library in Wellington. And the lecturer says, "Okay, everybody, you have 3 hours. Open your envelopes." Everybody's got a little envelope and stuff like that. They're all standing at the National Library. And inside every single envelope is a different topic completely unrelated to their current field of study. Right? And he says, "You are now at the National Library. You have a topic. You have 3 hours to write a 1,500-word essay on this topic, which you currently have no familiarity on. I don't care what you're capable of remembering, what you're capable of regurgitating, what you're capable of repeating, because it means nothing. When you go out into the real world, this is how it is. You have to know how to find information by yourself without anybody's help, even without the internet on occasion. This
Wonderful.
Is your job. And I was like, wow, that's
real.
That is university the way it should be.
Great.
Unfortunately,
well, this is the point, isn't it? The younger people, I mean, if there's any, you know, category, I guess you can't say that, categorized, but the people, all right, they're not able to interact. They're not self-educating. They're not being educated. They're actually in this little teeny circle thing they're doing. Their lives are get up, go to work, come back, watch the TV, go to bed, get up. It's just a cycle. And they have their little variations in it all, but they're all humdrummed into their own little cul-de-sacs.
Well,
so where's
so
the interaction? Where's the knowledge? Where's the sharing of learning and caring? That's another thing that's falling down, is people caring about each other.
Isolation's really important in prison discipline. When you have prisoners True. That are acting up and what have you, you punish them by sending them into what? Solitary confinement.
Yeah.
What happens to somebody when they suddenly become a conspiracy theorist and they realize everything's a lie? What happens to all their friends? They put you in solitary confinement.
Yep, that's right.
All right. That's what
and
happens.
These iPhones, that's almost what they're doing. It's back to the Simon and Garfunkel, crowds of lonely people.
Mm.
And they are. You see photos of it now, a sidewalk full of people walking to school, and they're all glaring at their phones. They don't even know who's with them or around them. They're totally alone in their phone.
Yeah.
So it's really good to be broadcasting. And, you know, our listenership has increased a lot. Our hits on our website is just increasing really well. That's going up quite a bit. And we now know from our statistics, there's no time, 24 hours a day, that there isn't a minimum of 20 people listening to Rush FM.
Now, can I ask you as well, what motivated you specifically to get Rush FM started? I mean, you kind of... the whole time I've known you, you've been really, really into waking people up. That's never been my focus, but it appears to have been yours for quite some time. What got you into that?
Well, I guess a combination of things, as it usually is. I was involved in radio. I had been involved for almost 12, 13 years now, and I was doing a show at a community radio, agriculture program, a Midday Farm Report it was called, and I was... outside the box, I was not going down to pork weights are up and there's, you know, sheep costs and lambs or, you know, all that. I gave that crap a miss. And I was talking about environmental and self-sufficiency and sustainable farming. That's all I talked about for 7 years. And I worked that up as another type of education, because the farmers are still going, oh, organics, that's hippies and beads and sandals. You don't really take that seriously. But yet the data was showing that the people who were going for natural farming practices were outstripping the chemical stuff by miles. So that kind of put me on an informative basis. Then the other side of it is I have a pretty strong spiritual background. And from a spiritual point of view, you can actually see what's going on from the Illuminati concept down. They're trying to remove any type of faith and determination in us as individuals. They don't want us to have faith in ourselves. They don't want us to have a tight-knit family. They don't want us to have a mature interaction in our communities. They don't want us to have any relationship to God. They want all of that rubbed out, and they're trying in every imaginable way to replace those concepts with dependent on the state, dependent on money, dependence on their Illuminati global control. And I'm going, wait a minute, this is a godless motivation being molded and morphed into all these other downstream problems. And I think that's where we're at today on this idea that they've taken it further, that they want to be the controllers to the point it's who lives and who dies on their decision, not our own. Mm. And so what can be said? This is a war. It's a subtle, plain, invisibly based war. And so I'm going, wait a minute, I can't stand that. I can't succumb to that. And I believe it's time for there to be a platform. Radio was already in my life. Well, let's see what we can do here. And that's what I did. I started working. I took a station that was a mess, a total unbelievable mess. I can't even describe to you all the horrors that was going on in the studio. I mean, the stripper pole was in the studio, and I took a trailer load of beer cans and cases and rubbish out of the studio. So it was a real mess. They were tagging the wall inside the studio and all that. So it was a real mess. And I took it and shook it down and cleaned it up and started to find out, well, what is it that I'm going to get? What a broadcast. It's going to make people care and pay attention. And that's where Rush FM started. And I just went through going, well, I can't put on big, long, involved talkback programs. I didn't have the equipment, tools, support, etc. at the time anyway. And I feel that everybody is so distracted. You got to hit them with something that's a minute or two or three and get them thinking and let go. And that's the way I've structured Rush FM. Hmm. And so we've been very successful. We have hundreds of spots and quotes and inserts, and we're constantly looking for insightful comments by intelligent people, those people that have had the opportunity to be in the front row, to hear something, to analyze in proper perspective. They've come forward relatively articulate and given something that the people can identify with. Like, yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll say one very short one here. We have a very short spot that says, if all dollars aren't taxed the same, it's not a level playing field. So that's just a simplistic thought. And it goes on from there to sometimes 3 or 4 minute discussion about a particular topic or subject. And well, we've hit the nail on the head. The people are coming back to us going, man, there's so many things that makes me think on Rush FM. And I go, that's what we want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Of course, because I think, what was it? I went out to a protest in Pukekohe to protest John Key, who was visiting out there at the time. Uh-huh. And a police officer came up to us, stopped me from protesting, and we talked with him for about 20 minutes after only protesting for 10, and the video got tens of thousands of hits, right? Nice conversation with the cop. It's always fun doing that.
Yeah.
And on my way home, my volunteer for the day, also named Vincent, asked me, you know, Vinny, why don't you take things more seriously? Why don't you try and report things with credibility and such and such? And I said, well, think about this, man. How many people are there doing that already out there? You know, people are really working hard to maintain their credibility and to report all the facts, etc., and are doing it really seriously. And he says, well, it's pretty much all of them. And I go, now, how many other people out there who are just having fun and making people not want to kill themselves? You know, he goes, well, basically, it's just you. And I go, okay, so what you're really asking me is, why don't you want to be like absolutely everybody else and not be original in any way, shape, or form, Vinny? You know, yes. It's like, well, I think there's an obvious answer to that. Because I don't want to.
That's right.
What the hell is the point?
We don't need more sameness. We need the outside the box. Sameness always produces the same result. It's those of us who are outside the box, looking at it from a different point of view, have another take on it, and are presenting it in a unique fashion. Those are the ones that actually make people stop and think, well, wait a minute, this is sameness.
I can't be bothered with that kind of stuff, really. I mean, it's when was the last time you had an original idea, I like to ask people? And the answers are usually not good, bro.
And he turns to his girlfriend and says, when was it, dear?
Yeah. Because if you're a guy, you can't remember nothing.
No, hell no. And she says, the last time I gave you one. We're in a situation where we have to take an outside-the-box perspective so that people can be not necessarily shocked, but kind of out of the concept that this is just another report on the same subject. Mm. Because there's very serious shit going on. It's amazing how the spin is absolutely the opposite of the truth now. I mean, it used to be they had some bit of truth put in there, a little bit of lie, a little bit of deception, a little bit of word jugglery, and it formed their article or their conception of how to control humanity. But now it's gotten to the point, it's almost exactly the opposite of the truth every time you look deep into it.
That's true. I have indeed interviewed activists before, and they told me that when they watch the news, on occasion they play the opposite game, and it's quite fun. You just sit there, you watch a news story, and you assume the exact opposite of everything that they're telling you, and it's a really funny game because 90% of the time it winds up being exactly what's
going on. Spot on. That's right. You get the real point of view if you play the opposite game. I hear you. I think you're right as rain. And I think that's what part of what you get to do in broadcasting and radio. You get to give them that opposite point of view from a factual point of view, if that makes sense. You're giving them that opposite concept, but with a perspective that makes common sense. Because I get this all the time. I know you do too. What is going on in this crazy world? Anybody with common sense or a little bit of intelligence and education goes, something's really wrong. What is going on here?
I got this idea as well that it's so utterly important to maintain a perspective on these things because there's too much knowledge out there for any one person to know. This is what I've started to realize is that I want to know as much as I possibly can. And the first thing I learned along that vein is realizing that I can't actually know everything.
Yeah.
Right. Which means that you have to go into life with a degree of humility, don't you?
Definitely. Definitely. You have to have a degree of humility. The humility is a reflection of your own self-confidence. A person can't be humble unless they have self-confidence.
Hey, you know, that's actually a very interesting point, because when you're arguing with people, say, like, I don't know, they're arguing with you about chemtrails and saying that they don't exist, et cetera, et cetera. And you're like, okay, well, here's this video with a 15-length plane-length contrail, which disappears almost instantly. And here's a video with a plane that leaves a streak from horizon to horizon, thousands of plane lengths long. And not only does it not disappear, it expands, attracts moisture from around it, and winds up covering the entire sky with a milky haze. And they go, oh, well that just occurs under certain atmospheric conditions. What conditions?
They're right next to each other at the exact same height with the exact same temperature.
The condition is denial. That's when it occurs.
Oh, yeah, the atmospheric condition, you know, denial can allow chemtrails to manifest, you know, like Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief or something like that.
I manifest chemtrail with my brain god powers.
Yeah, right. Here, let me share something with you. This is an email I got 2 days ago. I've just been on a short visit back to New Zealand after living abroad for 10 years now. On this visit, I stumbled across your station and must say am very impressed. Please keep up the good work with what you're doing. I've forwarded your website address to quite a few close friends now to add to your following. I'm 33 years old and constantly struggling to understand what the hell is going on in this world. The information you have laid out is such a help with making decisions to do with health, well-being, life choices, future challenges with my kids. The list goes on. It's not pushy. It's just providing the information, which is what I want. A huge thanks again, friend Phil. That's the kind of stuff we're getting, Vinny.
Yeah. I get a lot of that too. And what's interesting is the compliments. This is how the brain works, or at least my brain anyway. You get 10 to 1.
Is this going to be too much information?
No, this is going to be pretty straightforward.
Oh, okay, good.
You get 10 to 1 compliments versus insults, but you remember the insults 10 to 1 versus the compliments.
Well, that's only human nature to make you try to improve. It doesn't have to wound you or give you a doubt in your mind or your heart. It's only an indication that there's room to improve. And if you take it like that, it's water off a duck's back.
It's true. It's true. You just got to learn to cope with it and deal with it, don't you?
Yeah, well, really, they have to deal with it. You know, as you sow, so you reap. If you're a SOB and you're calling everybody anything but a good word, well, it just ruins your life. It doesn't ruin our lives. We just go, oh, well, he's got a problem. But it isn't our problem. It's his.
Yeah. This is why I have fallen in love. A digital love with the Facebook block function. Somebody comes at me, block, and you never hear from him again. Oh, it's blessed. I mean, I recall as a teenager when you get the odd pimple and what have you that's really, really big, fat and juicy, and you actually get this intense, sickening fascination, pleasure by purging that thing. All right? It's very similar sensation to that, I must say.
Well, what can be said, Vinny, the social spectrum of types of people, they're trying to make that all sameness. And you get two responses. The one response is what we do. We try to inform. We hold on to our individuality. We try to be constant and self-confident and do the best we can. And then there's the other people that get angry, agitated, full of hate. They just can't stand what's happening to them. But see, they don't understand. It's more a knee-jerk for them. Ours is more a intellectual repercussion.
This is true. Roy Harlow from Rush FM in Hamilton, ladies and gentlemen. RushFM.co.nz is the website. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. And Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. We'll be right back.